The new students here especially may like to know where all this comes from and what it's called and what we're doing here. So the practice that we're doing comes out of the Theravada tradition of Buddhism. Theravada is the way of the elders, the ancestors, avot. The practice is quite close to Zen. It's a practice of bare attention. It is rather different from other Buddhist and Hindu yoga practices in which we create certain conditions of the mind and the body. For example, visualizations. Here we do not create special conditions of the body. We do not manufacture different kinds of breathing. We do not have purposes of developing energies, seeing energies. We do not create visualizations in front of our mind. We do not look for lights and ecstasy. We are in the present moment as it appears to us, as it is revealed to us in every moment. This is a practice which is deep inside the tradition. You will find it written up exactly as we're teaching it in the thousands and thousands of texts in the Buddhist tradition. And there are many elements that are being passed over to you that they may just be a word here or there, but I can assure you that they are written about, discussed in volumes and volumes in the text. For example, the word steadiness or balance, otherwise equanimity, muzan, izun, something steady and balanced like a mountain. So this has been mentioned, but you'll find in the Buddhist texts, you know, volumes on this issue alone. What is balance? What is steadiness? How important it is. Trust was mentioned. Exploration, investigation was mentioned. All of these are themselves kind of, you can unpack them inside the tradition. But we cannot present too much all in one go in 5 days, and it's not necessary. It's a gradual practice, and if you go home with the taste of this practice, you can then decide how much to work with it and how much to follow it further and further and deeper in your life. The tradition, the practice we're doing, is basically divided into two areas. One is the practice of concentration, steadiness, following an object from moment to moment, being in the present moment, meeting our present moment as it comes up for us. This is called samatha. Samatha, being in the present moment from moment to moment. It's a training in grounding ourselves into our present reality. It's a training in concentration. It's a training in using our mind and our consciousness as a tool for attention and for our life. The second part is vipassana. Vipassana is the exploration of our reality, the investigation of it, receiving it, understanding it, and growing in wisdom. Yesterday, Catherine talked about how even in the simple act of watching the breath, we can begin to understand that life flows, that one breath is not the same as the next, that everything changes, that phenomena pass, that we ourselves are not necessarily as solid as we think we are, that we ourselves are a phenomena that passes. This kind of wisdom is the wisdom that we practice in vipassana. Vipassana is inquiry, tovana, exploring the truth within us. So they're the two elements, and they're a bit overlapping. It's not exactly clear. We don't say 3 days samatha, 7 days vipassana. Here we are working, weaving them both together. The concentration develops, the inquiry develops. We may inquire into a breath, we may simply rest with the breath and develop our continuity of practice. The specific technique of mindfulness, or bare attention, as it's sometimes called, it's called in the Pali sati, and it has a very interesting quality to it, to this word. It has a quality of remembering. Sati is remembering or recollecting. It means remembering where we are again and again. And the opposite of sati is, of course, forgetting. So there is a sense that in the practice of bare attention, we remember where we are. We remember we have a body. We remember that we breathe. We remember that we touch the ground. We remember that we live inside our bodies. So this practice of remembering is a primary tool in spiritual development in this path. For example, we can be watching television, having a great time, wonderful concentration, right inside the movie. We're sitting very still, much stiller than we can sit here, for 2 hour exciting movie. Plenty of concentration, no remembering. It's not meditation. At least it's not our form. we are forgotten. We forget ourselves. We are not in touch with our own consciousness. We're not in touch with our awareness. We're right inside the movie. So it's an example of remembering and forgetting. So we start with the body, and that's how we began, and we are beginning here in this practice. Because the body is a primary place within which we live, within which we are, and which we always forget. We start with the body because it's closest to us, and it's very clear. The clearest thing to know is that I am sitting here. I am sitting. I am touching the ground. It's extremely clear and extremely simple. When all else seems chaos and confusion, this knowing, I am sitting here, I am sitting, it's a primary remembering, and it's bare attention in the simplest form. So the body is our primary vessel for building attention and insight. And it says in the texts, if somebody would like to practice, he goes to sit under a tree. Remember, this is 2,000 years ago. He finds himself a tree. He sits down under the shade of the tree, making his mind calm and steady. He places attention in front of him and experiences his body. The breath is part of our body experience. The breath is slightly more subtle, in the sense that it's easier for us to know that we're sitting than to know that we're breathing. But the breath has a very special power for us. It's the bridge between mind and body. So we use the breath as our primary object of meditation here. But if we even lose the breath, we can go back just to know that we're sitting, or just to know that we're standing, or just to know that we're walking. The practice of bare attention takes away the food from our crazy minds. So when we're in the body, we're not in a body that we judge. We're not in a young body, an old body, a meditator's body, a don't like myself body, I love myself body. It's just body. So the practice of bare attention takes away some of the fuel, some of the nutrition from our chattering minds. And that sense of coming down in our consciousness into the simple, into the direct touch with reality, is the practice of mindfulness. And it has in it various elements, some of which we mentioned. It has in it the element of trust, because it's very helpful just to trust the process, to trust our experience, to trust ourselves, to trust our consciousness. We have a consciousness. In this practice, we are simply filling ourselves with our own consciousness. We are filling our world with our own consciousness. We trust our consciousness. It does its thing. It does its work. A second element is exploring or investigation. When we look at the breath, we can begin now to focus a little bit deeper, to begin to kind of do fine-tuning. The beginning of the breath, the middle of the breath, the end of the breath. What's the quality of this breath? How is it different from the last one? This is a sense of wakefulness in the inside the experience, a sense of alertness or investigation. You can play with it. This is another element in our practice to aid awakening, to aid precision, discrimination, that is, being able to distinguish things that we see that may be quite subtle, be able to distinguish A from B, this moment from the next moment. It's part of the training of our awareness, of our attention. Another element is effort or energy. And it's very interesting the way that we are called here in bare attention for a different kind of energy from the one in which we usually achieve things in life. Our energy in life is very driving, driven. We really like to press the gas and go full speed in our lives. The energy of our normal life is like ambition, is wanting, it's very strong. Here, the energy which we apply to meditation is a much softer energy. In the text, they talk about a chicken sitting on the eggs, tanegolet dogeret. She sits on the eggs. And never mind how much she says, oh, I want my chicks to come out now. Oh, I want the little beaks of the chicks to break the shell and come out now. I know it's only 10 days and not 21 days, but now is the time for them to come out. Oh, please, little chicks, come out now. That's, by the way, how it's expressed in the sutta. And they will not come out until the time is ripe. And they will not come out unless she has done her job, which is creating the conditions, the warmth and the sitting, creating the conditions for the chicks, the efrochim, to come out. So it's that kind of energy which we're looking for here, an energy of staying with things, of persisting, just staying with it, rather than driving ambition to achieve things. An image also is the lute, is the guitar. If the string is too tight, it doesn't make music. And if it's too loose, it doesn't either, it doesn't make any sound. So we're talking about a string that is just tight enough to make music. And that's our energy. We can play with it. Not too laid back and not too driving and and desiring of results. And a final element that I just want to remind you about is the element of closeness, of intimacy. It's our breath. It's coming inside us in a natural way. It's our life that we're looking at. This intimacy, it's like a preciousness. The breath is so precious. So if we can welcome it like a good friend, we have another breath. Ah, hello. You're me. I don't mean to say you have to say these words in your mind, by the way. But I'm talking about an attitude of closeness or intimacy, kindness. So there is that element in it. You can be kind to yourself, you can be allow yourself to be kind during this practice. Kind and soft. Soft attention. That's the name of the game. So as we stay with our breath, something may begin to happen, which is that we settle down into the flow of the breath. We settle down, relax into the flow of the breath. So at the beginning we've obviously found that two breaths and three breaths, and then whoop, off we go, the mind goes galloping away. It's like we get on the train and the mind takes us, the train takes us way down the tracks, and we only wake up again when it's delivered us to the station in Haifa. Here, slowly, bit by bit, we learn to stay with the breath, not to climb on the train or to climb off it, quickly back, remembering where we are, remembering our breath, remembering where our present moment is. So as we do this, slowly we may find that we're more and more comfortable with the breath, that we can be with it longer and longer, and gradually then interruptions and disturbances, even from the mind, become less and less interesting. And that's a process that happens slowly. It says that the disturbance becomes just like something coming up and brushing the back of your hand. It's not strong, it doesn't need to be attended to. I want to also address the issue of calm and quiet. Now you may have noticed that we're not trying to be quiet here. It's impossible. As soon as we sit, we find stuff comes up inside us, and it will be absurd to say we're trying to shut the gates, to shut the doors, to turn off the tap and not be disturbed. This is not a practice of anesthesia, hardama. We are not here taking anesthetics. However, it's helpful to reduce the stimulation. And one of the things that we do try is to create an atmosphere of quiet, less stimulation, less radios, televisions, talking, books, etc., simply to turn down the volume. When we turn down the volume, things become a little easier, a little clearer. We can begin to focus more deeply. So we turn down the volume to create a little bit of quiet so that things become more manageable, more workable. But we are not trying to create calm. That's not our purpose here. Unlike, for example, mantra meditation or some other kinds of meditation which are dedicated to calm. Now, if it happens that you feel so disturbed inside and that there's so much stuff going on that you really need more calm, that the things are going wild, you're in the middle of the storm, you can create some calm inside by, for example, saying to yourself, I breathe in, I feel calm. I breathe out, I feel ease. I breathe in, I feel calm. I breathe out, I feel ease. Using the breath as a vehicle to create calm. But, as I say, it's to keep things within a workable level, a sort of level where we can work with them with insight and attention. That's where we want them. We're not trying to switch off. And a final point about these general points that I want to pass now is a point about experiences. Some of you are having different experiences that come surprises. They can be difficult experiences and they can be easy or joyful experiences. In the practice, any experience is food for our attention. It is not in itself specially interesting. An experience of insight, great. But it's past. It passes. It's gone. And the next, and our task is to be as fresh with the next moment. So we're not looking for experience here. There is a wonderful Zen story about a Zen student who learnt the technique from a Zen teacher. And the Zen teacher said, go off to the mountain, go to a cave, start to sit. So he went off to the mountain, went inside the cave, sitting. All of a sudden there was a huge thunderstorm and the clouds built up and rain and storm and lightning, and he felt utterly inspired and it was as if he saw God. He came running back to the monastery and said to his abbot, I just had the most extraordinary experience. In the middle of all this lightning, I was utterly taken over. And the teacher said, which side of the door did you leave your shoes when you came in here? Experiences are themselves not that interesting. They are the phenomena. One experience can be the experience of self-doubt, difficulty, our hang-ups, our problems. It's another cloud in the mind. An experience can be of insight. It's another cloud in the mind. So we just have to be aware of that, not to create a preciousness around experience. Let them flow. I want to read just one sentence from Krishnamurti about this issue. He says, always seek for wider, to seek for wider, deeper, transcendental experiences is a form of escape from the actual reality of what is, which is ourselves, our own conditioned mind. A mind that is awake, intelligent, and free. Why should it need, why should it have any experience at all? Light is light. It doesn't ask for more light. So we can go towards the experience of seeing the ocean if we just watch the waves. Not to take special interest in one wave or another wave, but just here's a wave and here's another wave. And if we know the wave, we will eventually know the ocean. And that's our path. Okay, so I'd like finally to summarize some instruction and add one new component to it. We start with our posture. When we begin, we check through our body. We feel how we're sitting. Yeah, we can do it together. So just begin by knowing how we're sitting. Making a small adjustment to our posture so that we are steady, balanced. The dignity of sitting strong in our place, upright but relaxed. And then just fill ourselves with knowing that we're sitting. We know we're sitting. We know where all our parts of our body are. We feel the earth underneath. A sense of bodiness, bodily life. And now I want to introduce one new element, which is sound. Let's go out and experience sound. Open our sense of hearing. We don't identify what it is we're listening to. We don't need to say, this is an air conditioning, this is a voice, this is a car. Just open to sound itself, without choosing, selecting. The sense of openness, the sense of choicelessness, not choosing. Open, open. And now with the same sense of openness, we turn our attention to the breath. Open to the breath. To the experience of the in-breath as it comes in. The out-breath as it goes out. Natural easy flow of the breath. and try and get closer into the breath, the power of investigation, the beginning of the in-breath, the middle of the in-breath, the end of the in-breath. Is there a space between breathing in and breathing out? What is this one breath like? What is its quality? Rough or smooth, long, short, pleasant, unpleasant? Sense of intimacy with each breath. Closeness. A kind of living inside the breath, being with it. If you experience strong sensations in the body, such as pain, heat, cold, tingling, pressure, you can turn your attention to bodily sensations with the same sense of investigation, receiving it, close to it. Or if there are states of mind like tiredness, restlessness, desires, moods, knowing them, being with, and then letting go, coming back to the breath. I would like to encourage everybody to not to see this moment as the end of a meditation session, but to begin to feel the continuity of practice. And many of us would say, I want to go deeper, I want to have a deeper awareness. The depth comes with continuity. So as we walk outside, as we get up, as we move, as we stretch, as we wait for the food, for lunch, as we feel our animal mind coming up and saying, I want the cue to move more quickly, we notice that. As we judge ourselves, we notice that too. So try and keep the continuity of practice. There is standing practice, sitting practice. There's also eating practice. What's the food taste like as it touches our tongue? What does it feel like as we satisfy our hunger? What is hunger? What do we feel like when we've eaten and we get up? So if we can keep the continuity of attention through the day and maybe the night, as we fall asleep, as we wake up,